Okay, we have a little excitement, just birds trying to get in from the outside. Don't worry about it. I'm sure it's fine. Okay. So, thank you. My normal person that does that is not here at this moment, but does that make it just a little bit louder? Okay. I'll try to keep it off the mustache, that rubbing. Okay, Acts chapter 7, and we're going to be in Acts for a while because unfortunately, God has given us some pretty specific stories about some pretty specific things. And let's just start out like this. If I go over to, what's the new grocery store? Sunfresh? Sunfresh? Fest. I ain't got it right so far, it's fine. So they did not change the chicken recipe, praise the Lord. Okay, anyway, but the point is, if I go over there and all those people know me, they laugh at me every time I go in there. Anyway, but the point being is I go through there and I get my chicken and I get my beef and I get whatever and I go to the line and I say, hey, good to see you. And I begin to push it out the door. What's going to happen? They're going to say, Bruce, did you forget something? No, I just figured y'all like me and, you know, it just... You know, I'll be, you know, it's good. I'm give you a little advertisement every week. I just, you know, it's only $40. But no, everything costs something, doesn't it?
Yes.
If you get the brand name mayonnaise, it's higher than the generic mayonnaise. Okay. Just the truth. Okay. Food reference. Okay. But the point being is this, guys. Watch this. Everything in Acts, the Acts of the Apostles is a long title for that book. Everything there costs something. And the question really that we need to start with this morning is, are we willing to pay the price for what it costs to be the men or women God has called us to be? Are we willing to pay that price? Because it's expensive. And as I looked at this, number one, salvation is paid for, isn't it?
Yes.
Salvation is paid for. He paid the price for you. He paid the price for me, and I've received it. I walk in it. I rejoice in it. I love it. I actually, I think the right word is revel in it. We just had a little reveling here earlier. I was just celebrating the fact that I'm saved, okay? But as we take this path to be the New Testament church, it costs. And I'm not talking about your wallet, okay? What I'm talking about is you. So last week we were talking about Stephen. And guys, Stephen was murdered. He gave his life for the gospel. And they took his life there. And as I look at this story and as that sermon, we talked a little bit about it, and it was the sermon of the covenant that God had made with them all the way through. It's a beautiful synopsis. You need to read it, spend some time there. It's a great synopsis of the entire Bible of how they got to the New Testament from the beginning. And here's the deal. I was in a business a few years ago. Who knows? Who keeps track of time? And, it was a tattoo parlor, and I was sitting there talking to some people and hugging some necks. And a friend of mine said, hey, Bubba, would you talk to my son? I said, sure. What does he want to talk about? He said, well, I told him it was Easter. It's when Jesus rose from the dead. And he said, was Jesus a zombie? And he said, I think he needs a little direction in that area. I said, okay. So we sat there while everybody could hear the machines going in the background. We hadn't had a tattoo contest here yet, but that's, I guess that's coming. But anyway, but the point is that he, I sat there and I told him the story. I essentially told him this whole story from the beginning of us messing it up to the fact that he made propitiation, that he made a payment for our sins all the way to his resurrection. And I told him, and so when it was over with, I looked at him and I said, buddy, you got any questions that you want to talk about? He goes, no. And the lady behind me, who was a customer, said, well, he shouldn't. You told him the whole story. And then I just realized I was talking loud enough that everybody in there could hear me. So everybody got a free sermon that day, you know, well, whatever they paid to get the picture put on them. But anyway. But he was, listen, he did that day, but that his cost him his life, okay? And I'm gonna tell you, God is calling us to be people who are willing to lay down whatever we thought our life was and say, you know what, I'll do. So during that time, there was a guy, and this is where we're picking it up today, and literally in chapter 8, Saul was consenting to his death. At that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered through the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. A devout man carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc. And I've never seen this word in the Bible before. Havoc. Turmoil. I've never seen this word, the actual word havoc. And we're talking about confusion. This guy was going into their houses and arresting them. He was chasing them down. He was looking for them. He was fighting the church everywhere he could. Now, I want you to, this is going to be a tough sermon this morning, okay? It was tough for me to study. It was tough for me. I prayed twice, okay? Well, anyway, but the point being is this. I want to say this with confidence this morning. As he was doing this, he was doing this in the name of religious propriety. He was doing this because they were doing it wrong. He was a Judaizer. He believed in the law, which had been given to them from God. Did the law come from God? Yes. Absolutely. And he was doing that in what he thought was an obedience to his purpose. He had studied at the feet of Gamaliel. He knew everything. But what he didn't know was what God was doing. God had provided salvation through his son. Is that true? And what he had not received, accepted, understood the bottom line that Jesus paid it all. We didn't sing that one this morning, but I needed to. Jesus paid it all. Did he pay it all? Yes. Okay. And here's the deal. Be good, please. Lord, have mercy. Okay. Follow the word of God. You'll last longer, I promise. Okay. If you change your oil in your car, it'll last longer. So if you act right, you'll last longer. Okay. So Saul is doing that in the name of religion, and he believes it. He's not doing this so, well, you know, I'm getting $40 for every Christian I arrest. No, that's not what it's about. It is about him believing. And I want to tell you this today, there are religious spirits who have convinced the world that their way is, I want to tell you, they put the value of people down here and the value of their theology up here. Does that make sense? Jesus did not die for your pet theology. He did not die for, okay, I won't be too specific, okay? Don't want to hurt nobody this morning too bad. I just want to grind on you a little bit, okay? So I want to give you the perfect example because I lived it. I lived it, okay? So I want you to imagine a little boy about as tall as he was wide in South Arkansas. Couldn't put on enough deodorant to not sweat through it, okay? Weird hair. And he goes to a church that you cannot go to the movie theater under any circumstances, even if it's a puppet show, because that was entertainment. That was worldly entertainment. You could not dance, even if it was your sister, okay? You could, I mean, the girls had to wear a certain thing, the guys had to wear a certain thing. Everything, your every avenue of your life is ruled and reigned by the church and what people think is the right thing to do. Does that make sense? In the middle of that, we're taking up money every week for the African children in little barrels, okay, and sticking our money in it. We had to call it the Penny March. We called it the Boys and Girls Missionary Crusade. We'd come forward, we'd give all that. And while we are sending this money to another town, and while that, and we're ministering to these people and buying stuff for them and all that, there are people walking outside our door that are from Africa that we cannot allow in our church. Can y'all hear that? Okay. And you're like, I literally, this little short kid could put on enough deodorant, okay, sweating like a wild man. All right, well, it was South Arkansas, okay. And in the middle of that, I asked my dad, I said, well, why don't we cut out the middleman? I mean, you know, because I did end up with a business degree, but that was many years later. But the point being, what about them? And literally, he said these words. He said, if I let them come to church, I will lose this whole church. Everybody here will leave. I want you to think about that. In the middle of all that, okay, in the middle of all that going on, then out in California, some of you seen this, okay, now I'm a little bit older. Now I'm 11. I'm a little bit taller, but still the same width, okay? And literally, hair is just as weird, okay? But watch this. So then out in California, something happens. The Holy Spirit decides that he's going to have a revival among the outcasts of California. They called them hippies back then. Okay? And they start getting saved and start proclaiming Christ. They start getting off drugs. They start doing, and you know what happens? It grows and it grows. And just like everything, 3 years later, it hits Arkansas. Okay? I mean, literally, like air conditioning and, you know, water out of the tap. I never think it would take on. But it hit Arkansas. And literally what happened is we had a revival in the school. And people started laying down their sin. People started doing the right thing. People started proclaiming Christ. They started having Bible studies in the hallway. Had instead of going out drinking, they were coming in and we would ask, guys. And then we started having our own services on Sunday morning before regular church. And then everybody go to their own churches. And you're like, what a wonderful thing. Nobody was getting drunk and having a DW accident and killing people. People were getting off drugs. You see what I'm saying? What a wonderful thing. What could go wrong? What could possibly go wrong? Religion. And you know what people started saying? The adults, the ones who ran the church, they couldn't let their young people go to that because what are they preaching about this? What are they preaching about this? What about this? What about this? Sometimes we had communion. Who's overseeing the communion? What elder? What? You see what I'm saying? And you know what happened? Little by little, it degraded and was quashed. But from that, there are ministers all over the United States that got saved during that time and received Christ. And they said, but some of the people that were leaders during that time left the church completely because it hurt them so bad. Now, I want you to think about that. Some of the guys they were young people at that time. Would you like to stand before the Lord and say, you know what, I was trying to do something, and your pet religion pushed it down. Your pet ideas of how women should dress or men should dress or whatever. You see what I'm saying? And you say, Bruce, that's not possible. Listen, I lived it. I can testify to it. And this is not a test to lie. This is a testify. Okay. And then 20 years later, I'm somewhere else. And we have newspapers coming and interviewing us, said, how are you getting all these kids here? How is this happening? We were feeding like 100 kids. We had this happening. We had this, all this stuff. And it was not anything weird. It was wonderful. Churches had got together. They were using their buses to bring them all together instead of having three or four different youth groups. We had one youth group. We had bands. We had skits. We had people who were going home and being sexually abused by their parents had a place to come and get some peace in their life. I mean, and I didn't know about that then. I found out about it years later. Okay. People who were fighting mental illness, people who were all this stuff. They had people, a place where they were accepted. Okay. And guess what happened? Well, what are y'all teaching about this? Are y'all saying once saved, always saved? Are y'all saying this? Well, what are y'all teaching about this? What happened? Before long, there were 6 kids left, 10 kids, 14 kids. They were all gone because it was stopped. And you know what stopped it? Religion. Now you say, Bruce, when are you going to get back to the Bible? I'm going to show you just in a minute. But that is the spirit of the, listen to this word, Antichrist. Because if Jesus is not enough, why are we here? Why are we here? What are we doing? He is enough. And don't get me wrong, we need sound theology. We need, you know, there's been a whole church that's split over, is Jesus going to come pre, post, or pre, mid, or post? Here's the deal. I'm ready. If he's coming this afternoon, hey, I will not send them bills off. I mean, just let me know. Light bill's important. Okay. But anyway, but the point being, they couldn't control it. And they couldn't control the theology. They couldn't, you know, and here's the deal. Some people are more excited over who you voted for than who you're living for. Some people's more excited than what your hair looks like or, you know, I remember the first time. Okay, never mind. We'll get off of that. But I mean, literally, race, all these things, denominationalism, and the restoration movement, the Christian church, and I'm not bragging on the Christian church. I love the Christian church. I am part of the Christian church. But one of the reasons that God put me here is the way we started was by trying to say, can we just push some of this back a little bit and just look for the New Testament way of ministry and just do that? Okay. And everybody's welcome here. You know, if you're breathing, you're welcome. If you're not, we can do a quick service for you and get you. We actually got a cemetery nearby. Anyway, that was a joke. At one time, we could incarcerate, baptize, marry, bury, and we never went the circumcision route. We couldn't find a mole. You know? So anyway, a mole. I think that's, yeah, a mole is different. Yeah, that's what's in my yard. Okay. So here's the deal, like our ministerial alliance here in town, you know what? We choose to love each other. And guess what? I bet you money if I tomorrow handed out a bill, say, what do y'all think about this? What do y'all think about this? What do y'all think about this? I bet there would be 30, 40% difference and I don't care. I don't care. Jesus said, if they're not against you, then they are for you. Is that who we're going to listen to? Are we going to listen to the God of this world that says, literally, oh man, let's go to the book of John. I wish I had something to mark this with so I don't look at it. What is it? John 17. And if you've been around me much, you've heard this scripture before. John 17 and 20. Jesus is just about to go to the cross. And he is praying to his Father. He's saying these words out loud so that we will have them to look at later. For I don't pray for these alone, but also for these who will believe in me through their word. Say, that's me. Because I wasn't there when Jesus was there. I know I look like it, but yeah, I'm not that old. Okay. But here's the deal. Literally. He is praying for you. Say, that's me. I'm telling you, this is the right now. That they all may be one. I want you to think about those words. That these people that come to me after this is over, after generations from now, that they would be one. How well have we done with that? I'm going to tell you something. Me and Kim have been married for 42 years, and we are one. We are one. But watch this. Do you think we agree on everything? Because I'm always right and she's not. So it can be confusing for other people when you're always right. But all joking aside, guys, there's probably 30% of life that, you know, she thinks this and I think that, but it doesn't change one thing about my love for her. It doesn't change one thing about my commitment to her. It doesn't change one thing about it. And you know why? Because we're one. And here's the deal. I'm not going to go nitpick. I'm not going to pick anything in particular because I don't want to hurt anybody. But one thing in another church, I'm not going to nitpick it. That's their business. Okay? What I'm going to do is love them, pray for them, seek the best for them. And that we may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. You wonder why it's hard for people to believe in the church of Jesus Christ? Because we fuss and fight all the time. We fuss and fight all the time. We could, anyway, I'm going to be nice. And I'm tired of it. I'm tired of it. And I'm not going to do it anymore. Okay? That the world may believe that you sent me. And I want to tell you something. When we start getting along, when we start having the same focus, I'm going to tell you, one time I was in a meeting years ago, and we were over visiting another denomination, and I was just, it's pastors and a couple of more helpers were there, and we were about to have an event, and I was walking through their church. This was a really big, nice, expensive church, and ours wasn't. And this wasn't this one, and I was looking around and I said, wow, this is nice, man. I really like the place. He said, listen to these words. This changed me. He said, do you see anything you need? I said, what? He said, do you see anything you need? I go, no, I like your chairs. If we buy any, we're going to get something like them. Whatever. He says, if you see anything you need, tell me. And he was serious. This was not a joke. If I'd have been in a truck, he'd have helped me load it up. And you're saying, what? What kind of man does that? A man who understands that the gospel of Jesus Christ is bigger than he is. Does that make sense? And this was nice stuff. I should have went to their soundboard. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, that was a joke. But he was serious. And if I'd have said, man, you know, we need something. I don't know that if it wasn't there, he'd have ordered it. And you know why? Because God had showed him something. And as I've followed his ministry all these years, guess what? Blessing after blessing after blessing after blessing after blessing. And I'm going to tell you, that day changed me. Because, you know, I don't want y'all messing with my stuff. Okay, anyway. But watch this. If I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know. Now, that word perfect does not mean you're going to have perfect theology. Perfect theology. That word perfect can be translated mature. Is the Bible kind of serious about maturity? And we've got, as Amy Grant used to sing, fat baby, fat, fat, fat baby. And about we're still on the bottle. The body of Christ is still on the bottle. And we need to be eating meat, okay? And you've sent me and loved them as you have loved me. Okay. So this prayer has been on my heart for 40 years. This prayer for Jesus, and I've been preaching it, crying it, praying it, begging, you know, that we'd humble ourselves, because that's what it takes, is laying down our pride. So, we're back in, I'm in the wrong book, no wonder it doesn't make sense, okay. Seventh We're in the 8th chapter of Acts. Let's get back. Okay. So I love this verse 4. Okay. He's doing all this havoc. He's persecuting the church. But look at verse 4. 8 and 4. Acts 8 and 4. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere and preached the word. Think about that. Everybody, after they've been persecuted, after they've murdered one of them, guess what? You don't have to do it like I do it. I got a parking lot ministry. I got to work. I talk to people at work. I talk to people in parking lots. I talk to people in church. I talk to people online. And you don't have to do it like I do it. Okay? But he said all these guys went and did it. You know, God sent them all around. And Philip went to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. Now, I want you to understand this. That word Samaria stands for and is the outcast of Israel of that day. Think about it. Well, you know, them Samaritans, they don't do this right. They don't do this right. They're not, you know, they blah, blah, blah. In our culture, we have Americanized Christianity to the point that it's got to look like this, it's got to be like that, it's got to be this. Listen, Jesus is bigger. I love our country. I'm a veteran. I've spent, you know, I'm in the American Legion. You know, I'm just telling you, I love this country. But listen, don't Americanize this to the point where you think that this is what it's got to look like. And literally, they went to Samaria. People with mixed background, listen, and they had it real good. The religious people that day had it real good, like Jesus said. They were washing the outside of that cup. Man, they had a sparkling cup. Look at my pretty cup. But inside of it was death. Outside, they had whitewashed the building, okay? But inside of it was dead man's bones, okay? So watch this, guys. Literally, the next thing that I wanted to, I got one more point today, and it, all of them are big points. But the certain man called Simon, there's great joy in that city, but there was a certain man called Simon who had previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great. And to all who gave heed, this man, to the least, to the greatest, said, the man has a great power of God. And they heeded him because he had astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. Guys, I want you to think about this. If he had a following, was he of God? No. But he had a following. So everybody, that just because somebody's following somebody, and just because they're saying something or doing something, you think, man, that's something. Because supernatural does not mean always godly. You realize that, right? But when they believed Philip, so Philip has come in, he's preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he preached things concerning the kingdom of God, the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Okay? Everybody got saved. I say everybody. These people got saved. And Simon himself also believed. This guy who had been making his money, they had been following him because of witchcraft, because of this spiritualism that he had been doing, okay? Sorcery. Now, when the apostles were in Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John down to him. And it's like, hey, come down here. We need some help. This church is growing, okay? And who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit? For as he had yet fallen on none of them, they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when he laid hands on them, they received the Holy Spirit. Okay, now, watch this. They were so full of God that their presence, as they laid hands on them, these people who had received Christ, they began to be baptized. They began to feel, I mean, things were happening, okay? And on the laying on the apostles' hand, the Holy Spirit was given, and this is what happened. Simon looked at that and offered them, watch this, money for that gift. Now, I want you to think about this. We take an offering here every week. We have a PayPal account that you can, you know, send money, whatever. It's on our Crane Christian Church Facebook page. But this is not about money, guys. Listen to what happened. He began to think, you know, that's a power like I had before. And sometimes religion turns into manipulation. Sometimes it turns into, you see what I mean? Spiritual abuse, religious abuse, all this stuff. And this is not the gospel. The gospel is about this. The gospel is about receiving and then the power of God being able to do something in your life through the Holy Spirit. But Peter said to him, let your money perish with you because you thought the gift of God could be purchased with money. For you have neither part or portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. In other words, this is just one more thing he wanted to use to have people follow him. Repent therefore of all your wickedness and pray God. Perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven. For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. Now watch this. What's he bitter about? What's he bitter about? Why do people do the things they do? You know, when you work with people as long as we have, you pick up these catchphrases. Hurt people hurt people. Did you know that? Hurt people hurt people. And when we look at generationalism, we start looking at things that just, in the middle of this, guys, he looks at him and he doesn't say, yeah, you're greedy, you're all this, but you are poisoned by bitterness because something happened to him and he was bitter, okay? And some of us didn't get what we thought we deserved. Did that happen to anybody in here? Some of us didn't, literally, okay? Then, and the second thing was iniquity. And iniquity here is talking about the choices he's made, the things that he's dragging with him, okay? I don't remember which movie it was, but somebody, I think it was Steve Martin, was there and he was saying something like this. He's like, all I need is this right here. And it was, all I need is this. And then all I need is this. And all of that, before long, he's walking around carrying all this stuff. Was that The Jerk? Okay, that old movie, whatever. I don't even remember the rest of it. Might not be a good one to use for an example. Okay, but the point being is we think, unfortunately, we will say, you know, I need to, before long, we are bound by iniquity, okay? And we can wash the outside of that thing and we go, yeah, look at it, you know, something. When inside, there's this death. There's this deadly mixture of death, okay? And here's what's going on here, guys. Some of us literally need to take that cup and dump it out and allow him to fill it. And guys, this guy had believed in Christ, but he was struggling with bitterness and he was bound by iniquity. And Simon said, pray to the Lord for me that none of the things you've spoken to me come on me. And when they had testified and preached the word of God, they returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel to many villages of the Samaritans. You know that woman, it hadn't been that many years before that the woman at the well was the first person outside of the disciples that Jesus revealed that he was the Messiah. And remember what happened when she found out? She told everybody. She said, come up here and meet this guy, meet this guy, meet this guy. And so I want to tell you guys, I don't know how many times this has happened. Many, you know, the preparation for what God's doing here now has been done many, many years ago. People's prayer, people's faithfulness. This building wouldn't be here. There are people who are passed on, people who've gone to other churches, people who, and this building would not be here if it hadn't been for their faithfulness. And be faithful where you're at. You're planting seeds for the next generation or for the next folks. And we always think it's about whatever we see. And it's not about what we see, it's about what God is doing, isn't it? And I appreciate greatly that, the sacrifices that people have made. And this idea, God, this idea that this gospel is going forward outside of the established church of that day, which was, of course, the Judaism. Now, an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip and said, arise and go toward the south on the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. We're just about done. Listen carefully. There, I have a word that I use, okay? It's called divine appointments. I can't tell you how many times in my life now, and I am not special. I'm actually whatever the opposite of special, ordinary, okay, I don't, whatever, is, okay. But here's the deal, guys. Watch this. Literally, over and over and over, God has put me in a place where another person was there that I then was prompted by the Holy Spirit to say, hey, let's talk about this. Because they're at the very point in their life that they can receive. Does that make sense? That they're desperate enough for that drink of water, that they need this, that they need that. You know, some of those, I could tell you the story, but I'll just tell you one, okay? This was not too long ago. I was in a place, and there were people of all kinds going all different directions, and they were having prayer in another room. And there was a lady that ain't nothing. Ignore that. He's going to be wet here in a little. I'm going to get a bucket of water and throw it on that bird. There's two of them. I'll get two buckets of water. Okay. Anyway, let's not use that exit for a while. He's seeing himself in the reflection of that thing. He thinks it's another bird. But anyway, the point being is this, guys. So I am walking in there. I'm in my uniform. All that's going on. And so as I do that, this person has had a very bad experience, both with her male people in her life and the police do not help them. Does that make sense? And this is a spiritual situation. And literally, I was able to pray with her, pray for her, and get a point to where she recognized the fact that God actually, in the middle of all that, knew what he was doing. Does that make sense? And it has nothing to do with me whatsoever. It's like you having a flat and somebody coming along with a jack. That's all. I mean, it's nothing about the guy. It's about the jack. Does that make sense? And we were able to pray together, and God was, and those divine appointments are all around us, but a lot of times some of us say, oh, I don't think, you know, I don't know every scripture about that. I don't know everything. You know what? If I'm broke down on the side of the road and I need a can of gas, I don't care if you're Republican or Democrat, okay? What I need is get out of the heat and get me some gas. Does that make sense? Okay. So guys, just know that all things are working together for the good of them that are called according to his purpose. He knows exactly what's going on. And this, again, it's not for us to say, look at me. It's for us to say, look at him. So Father, we magnify you today, Lord. We focus on you. We give our lives to you. And Lord, thank you so much, Lord, for a place, a platform, Lord, a way to put out the word of your love, grace, and mercy toward mankind. And so, Lord, bless these people that are watching online. Bless these people here. In these last couple of seconds, guys, if you need to say, I need you, Lord. I have not received you as my Savior. I've maybe even acknowledged that people need church, people need this, but seek him while he may be found. So if you're here, either online or you're here and you need to say these words, just say, Father, I thank you so much for dying on the cross, for sending your son to die on the cross for me. And Lord, I receive that salvation, that sacrifice, that payment for my sins. And I am established as a covenant son or daughter of the Most High God. We receive you. The Bible says those who believe and are baptized will be saved. And so Look forward to hearing from you. God bless you and keep you, that his light shine on you and give you peace.